This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Jeff Norcross, in for Dave Miller. There are 27 miles of levees along the Columbia River in Multnomah County that are designed to keep the river from flooding. Before now, those levees were maintained by four local districts. A new law folds them into a single urban flood and water quality district. That means everybody who lives in the Multnomah County urban growth boundary could be on the hook for flood control money, even if they don't live near the river. Here to talk about how this works is Jules Bailey with Levee Ready Columbia. It's a collaboration of 20 organizations that are concerned with flooding and water quality issues on the Columbia River. Jules Bailey, welcome to Think Out Loud.
Thanks so much for having me and for having this subject.
So what was the problem with the old way of managing these levees, and how does this new system solve it?
Well, we had a levee system that had been doing its job, but that was not up to the standards that have been set by the federal government, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And the federal government came in and said to us, hey, you're on the clock. You've got to get these things upgraded, recertified, reaccredited in order to avoid falling out of some of these programs that help with flood fighting and flood safety after a major disaster. And the stakes are really high. I mean, people think about the levees, their Marine Drive and that sort of area around the airport, but it's not always clear everything that they protect. There's 59,000 jobs, 50% of all of the manufacturing and warehouse jobs in the region are behind those levees. You've, of course, got the airport and the Port of Portland. You've got the second largest source of drinking water in the entire state behind those levees. It's $16 billion in economic activity. And so through the Oregon Solutions Process, which is a program that brings together lots of different entities to solve really complex problems, we brought together 20 entities to figure out how do we get these things upgraded, how are we going to pay for it, and what's the right governance structure going forward.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the paying for it part in a minute, but you mentioned Hurricane Katrina as being a dividing line. What was adequate under the old system before Katrina, and why won't that be certifiable now?
Well, there's a couple of different programs. There's the FEMA program and the U.S. Army Corps program. They're slightly different programs, so I won't get into all the minutiae of the federal law. But imagine if 15 years ago, somewhere at the back of the newspaper in New Orleans, there had been a little story that said engineers shore up levees. Well, we wouldn't be on the 14th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina now and everybody remembering it. So what we're doing is getting ahead of problems, and we're making sure that not only are we fixing these problems now, but we're fixing them for the long run. And this isn't just theoretical. Just last year, had those levees failed or not been there, the Port of Portland, the airport, would have been underwater twice just last year.
And how does this bigger district fix that problem?
So what it operates under the principle of many hands make light work, right? So you have these four antiquated districts that were really set up for agriculture back 100 years ago, and they were focused on just the property owners in that levee area. Now, I live in Multnomah Village in southwest Portland at about 500 feet. And if my house is going to be flooded by the Columbia River, we have biblical problems, not just flooding problems.
Right.
So, but I use the airport. I benefit from the tax money that comes from the jobs in those areas. I benefit from the infrastructure. So people like me should chip in a little bit too. And what this does is enlarges the district, says that we're going to fix it on a region-wide basis, and perhaps just as importantly, brings in modern environmental considerations and water quality considerations that weren't there 100 years ago to protect habitat and adapt to climate change.
Do you have a sense now, I know you're all early in the process, but do you have a sense of how people who were not in these levee districts before and are now, what they're going to have to pay?
So there are going to be two aspects within this new district. There's a utility fee portion and a general obligation bond portion. This latter has to be approved by the voters. We leave it up to the new district to make a determination of what that is. But some of the initial discussions and studies show that it'd be about 90 cents a month for the general obligation bond, about $11 a year. Now, $11 is $11, but that's a pretty small price to pay for having a levee system that's going to protect the lives of 7,500 residents behind those levees.
And this affects everybody who is within the urban growth boundary.
That's correct.
Which is the metro-administered urban growth boundary that does not include communities north of the river like Vancouver or Camas or Washougal. How do you feel about them not picking it, not chipping in their fair share?
Well, they're actually not protected by this levee system. The levee system's on our side of the river. So it's fair that we pick up that cost and they can look at their side of the river as well.
Well, is movement in this area on this side spurring any action on that side that you know of?
Not to my knowledge. And partially that's because most of that infrastructure is on our side of the river with the airport and other things. But what we've really made a priority in this legislation is to have a system that is going to be able to be accredited, be certified, keep people safe for the long run. And that's really what this legislation has accomplished.
You touched on this earlier with your own experience living in Multnomah Village, and I live about a mile away from you, so I understand what you're saying. But what is the argument for people who are now being asked to pay for levee upkeep when they argue it's not their responsibility? They're nowhere near the river.
Well, I think the argument is pretty simple, and that is that we all benefit from being able to fly out of PDX. We all benefit from having the jobs in that area, whether we directly use them or not. Our schools are funded by income tax dollars. Well, those income taxes flow from that $16 billion behind the levee. And so every one of us, me, you, and my neighborhood, and neighborhoods around Multnomah County, have an interest in making sure that it's protected. And when we look at the complexity of bringing all of the entities that are in the region together to solve this problem, it really is it was a monumental task. And I'm very pleased to say that neighborhood groups were involved, that local governments were involved, that business groups and environmental groups were all involved. And we came to a consensus solution. It passed nearly unanimously in the legislature. And I think that's reflective of the fact that everybody agreed this is a problem and this is the best way to fix it.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about a new way to pay for the upgrades and maintenance of 27 miles of levees on the Columbia River. Jules Bailey is a former Multnomah County Commissioner and the convener of the intergovernmental organization Levee Ready Columbia. Jules, many people either remember or have heard of the flood of 1948 that obliterated the Vanport community, a largely African-American community in Portland. Does history like that drive the decision-making here too?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, the late Senator Jackie Winters, rest her soul, was someone who grew up in Vanport and was displaced by the Vanport floods. And there's a great OPB documentary on Vanport that people should check out. But that's very front and center in our minds. And not only is that a tragic history with regards to the economic losses and the displacement of people, it's a story about equity. It's a story about how communities of color in that area had been displaced. And that's one of the reasons in this legislation that we have an environmental justice position incorporated into this district. And in the DNA of this district, we are writing in equity and environmental justice concerns, particularly because it is often the case that when environmental tragedies happen, they happen to communities of color. And we want to rectify that.
What about the climate change part of this? I mean, how does that drive the decision making here?
Well, a 100-year flood just isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, the case is with climate change, we're seeing larger flooding events. They're happening more often. There's crazy weather. And so something that might have happened every 100 years or every 500 years is happening more often. So as part of the technical and engineering studies that we did, we said, hey, what are the changes that are happening because of climate change? How can we get out in front of it? And how do we have a levee system that can appropriately protect us from larger and more frequent floods? And those are the kinds of standards that this district will build the levee system to.
How are the levees now?
The levees are working, and the drainage districts that have been operating them have done a very good job at maintaining them over the years. The question is, will they be able to do it for the next 100 years? No one's in imminent danger right now, but we don't want that headline. We don't want the catastrophe. We want to get out in front of it. And this is the kind of thing that the public doesn't always see from their government because it's not front and center. But this is government actually working, coming together to solve problems before they happen.
Do you have a sense of the numbers? I mean, how much money is required to bring the levees up to certification?
Our initial estimates, based on the engineering work that we did, show that we need about $43 million just for basic certification. Going forward, we're looking at about $115 to $120 million over time to get these levees to where they need to be. Now, those are very big numbers, and those numbers would be too big for any one drainage district or one entity to handle. But when we bring all of them together, when we include the Port of Portland, when we include new kinds of flood safety management devices like resilient infrastructure through green infrastructure and natural habitat restoration, and we spread it out, we can do that and we can actually afford it.
Jules Bailey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jules Bailey is the convener of Levy Ready Columbia, a coalition of local jurisdictions. He's also a former Multnomah County Commissioner. Tomorrow on Think Out Loud, we hear about one of the ways housing advocates are helping to keep some of the lowest cost rentals available to those that need them. It's a resident-owned co-op, and we hear how the Columbia Trailer Court in Longview changed its residence. It changed after residents bought the park, improved it, and changed its name to the Columbia Court Homeowners Cooperative. If you don't want to miss any of our shows, listen on the NPR One app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Our nightly rebroadcast is at 8 p.m. Thanks so much for listening to Think Out Loud on OPB and KLCC. I'm Jeff Norcross.
Support for Think Out Loud is provided by the Rose E. Tucker Charitable Trust, Susan Hammer and Lee Kelly, and Kathy McCoy and West Portland Physical Therapy Clinic.